Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Valley Life Church this morning, and those of you who are online, welcome. And the advantage you have of actually being at home today is that if you use the restroom, it's not freezing cold. We had our furnace that warms up the foyer and helps in here just decided not to work. So there is a space heater in the ladies' room. Guys, you'll just have to suck it up. So it's a little chilly over there, just saying, so you know. But other than that, it's a great, glorious day, and we're really glad to be together today. And it is the end of our 21 days of prayer and fasting, so today it is time to celebrate. And what I thought was really funny about that video is we are about to go and have a meal together, and I was looking upstairs. There's a lot of food up there, so it's just like, wow, that's kind of fitting, a little bit warning. And that wasn't planned. That just, you know, that was just how it came. So if you see another one of those meatballs from the crock pot calling you, John, eat me, I'm going to have to eat it. But anyways, that's good stuff. So yes, but we're at the end of our 21 days of prayer and fasting, and we call it fresh air. And our hope and focus during this time has been to allow the Lord to speak to us and to kind of teach us and refocus us on our community in ways that allow a change in the atmosphere that comes around us. And oftentimes that comes through individuals and families and neighborhoods and people gathering together in various ways to bring the presence of the Lord. And that's what really changes the atmosphere. And so that's what our whole fresh air concept is about, and then taking that time once again to pray and seek the Lord and have this focused time. And so it's really good. And then we end it today with, we call it a break fast celebration, where we break the fast, and some people have fasted food and some have fasted social media, whatever it is. There's been all kinds of things that people have fasted, and we've been praying together, and it's been really good. So today it's a time to celebrate that. And our overall theme for this year has been feasting and fasting. And 2 weeks ago, I talked about, you know, feasting on the Lord. And last week, Trevor did a great job and talked about fasting. And the main point, you know, is that these things that we do are not about the food necessarily, but they're about, you know, our heart and our condition of our heart. And that's, you know, that's par for the course with fresh air. We want to be people who are not just about the religious activities of praying or whatever, but we want to be people who are praying to bring heart change, not only to ourselves, but the people around us. And that's how our atmosphere changes. So everything that we do, we want to learn how to walk in a way that it's changing our hearts and changing the atmosphere around us and the people around us. And so we come together and we gather, and we feast and we fast this month. So feasting, so it's kind of a weird word. We don't use that a whole lot in culture right now. You know, feasting on whatever, it's not that common. You know, we usually don't go to feasts, we go to parties, right? We have all kinds of celebrations and stuff that we do in our culture that do involve food, though. And that's basically what a feast is. A feast is a celebration with food. And so to take a feast or to do a feast, to up it a notch so that it's not just, you know, us gathering together and gorging ourselves on homemade cookies, what it needs is that element of the gospel. It needs Jesus Christ. It needs his presence in the midst of that. And that's what we're going to talk about today. What does it mean to feast as the body of Christ? So like I said, 2 weeks ago, we talked about feasting on the Lord. And really today, the feasting that we do together, so when we gather after, there's a celebration of what we're doing. But that celebration can only really be a true feast in the sense of, you know, a celebration of the Lord if we've feasted throughout the week or throughout the month or throughout our days. You know, we feast on the Lord, and then we come together and we get to celebrate who he is. So I gave you the punchline of the whole sermon. That's it. So we should go eat now, because I'm hungry. Did you guys go up there and smell that? There's like meatballs and pulled pork and soup. And anyway, never mind. Sorry, focus. Okay, so culturally, we have all kinds of celebrations that we do, right? There's graduations, there's birthdays, there's retirement, there's Thanksgiving, Easter, Christmas, baby showers, weddings. There's just all kinds of things that we do where we get together and we celebrate something and we have food at those events. And that's a good thing. Because we see throughout the Bible that God instituted all kinds of feasts. And Some of them have interesting meetings, like there's the Feast of Booths. Okay, we're going to go build a tent on the top of our house and live in it for a while. It's like, okay, whatever, you know. And most of us are familiar with Passover, and there's just all these different feasts that the Lord instituted, and people throughout time have had different reasons to celebrate and to feast, and we get together and we have this community celebration of some specific thing, and we add food to that. So once again, the food is a good, healthy part of it. You know, it's good for us to get together and eat. You know, there's all kinds of practical reasons why it's kind of fun, because when you're talking with someone and you have some food and there's an awkward moment, you don't know what to say, you just insert food, right? But beyond those things, the enjoyment of being together, there is the element of celebrating the Lord. And what does that mean? In the New Testament, there was, Matthew throws a party. Matthew is the disciple. Jesus calls him and says, Matthew, come follow me. He was a tax collector. And so he takes Jesus back to his house and he throws this party and he invites all his tax collector buddies and, you know, a bunch of religious folks are there too. And they're just like, you know, why is Jesus partying with a bunch of sinners? This is ridiculous. You know, and Jesus is like, hey, I came, you know, to for those who are sick. And so he, you know, that concept of being together and food and what happens in the middle of it is like the celebration of who Jesus was. And then the ultimate feast is going to be at the end of time, and they call it the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is the time where Jesus, who is, who is God, and at the end of the, we are the bride. We are his church, and we're going to meet the groom, who is Jesus, and there's going to be this celebration of Jesus and everything that's gone on. And it's a massive party at the end of time. And it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of food it is, but I don't know. But so we have all throughout history, all throughout time, all throughout the Bible, we have these times of feasts where they are a celebration of something specific with food added. So like Trevor mentioned last week, you know, it's more about our heart than about our stomach, you know. It is great. I mean, it is hard sometimes when you're eating to not be like, oh, this is so good, and make it about the food. Because food is really good. I like food. If you're a dwarf, you don't like green food. But if you're not, most people like all kinds of food. There's all kinds of food that we like that we partake in. And so there's nothing wrong with the food, but we got to make sure that we don't make food the whole reason that we're gathering. Or even tonight or this afternoon when we're actually eating together, that it's more than just about the community, right? So the community we have and how we get together is really important. It really is. It's good for us to be together, to talk and to communicate and to eat a meal together. But it's got to be a celebration of who Jesus is. That Jesus has got to be the midst. So the reason we're gathering is to celebrate who he is, right? The reason we're gathering is to celebrate what he has done in our lives. And that's why we get together. That's what feasting really is. And to make it about the food is to miss the fullness and richness of what this event is trying to, you know, what a feast is trying to do. You know, it's actually an act of worship. We get together and we celebrate while we eat how awesome and wonderful and good God is. So I mentioned 2 weeks ago, we talked about Jesus being the bread. He said he is the bread of life, and he had just performed a miracle and fed 5,000 people. And so they're just like, that's pretty cool. You know, that whole miracle was about food. And so they track him down because he leaves that event, that moment, and he goes and they come track him down and all the people follow him. And so Jesus is looking at all these people who are following him. And he tells them, this is in John 6:27. He says, but don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life of the Son of Man can give you. So there again, he's saying, you know, like, I did this amazing miracle and you ate the food, but you're following me now because you want more food. But I'm telling you, your primary goal in life, or the primary thing you should spend your energy on, is seeking the Son of Man, seeking that life, seeking the eternal life that he is there to give. Then he goes on in verse 57, John 6:57 says, I live because the living Father who sent me, because of the living Father sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. And that just sounds weird, right? I mean, it was weird in that time too. They're like, he's telling us to eat his flesh, is basically what he's saying. And that's just kind of strange, you know? But the point is, he's saying, no, I want you to partake in me. I want you to feast on me. Because when you do that, you'll find real life. Someone who did this really well, you know, we kind of wonder, well, what does it mean to feast on the Lord? And someone who did this really well was King David. So you have, in the Old Testament, David was a shepherd boy. He was anointed king of Israel, became the king after going through all kinds of trials and tribulations. And in the book of Psalms, there's a lot of the Psalms were written by David. And he was someone who continually went through trial and tribulation and yet understood that God was good and understood the goodness of the Lord. And I like to look at Psalm 34. And even from the title, you can tell that, you know, sometimes we can maybe romanticize some of the stories in the Bible. We hear about King David and all the amazing things he did, but there's so much reality in the Bible. There's so much anguish and suffering and challenge that people walk through. It's this not all, you know, sunshine and wonderful days. And this is one of those times for David. David, in the title it says, a psalm of David regarding the time he pretended to be insane in front of Abimelech, who sent him away. So David is running from King Saul. So King Saul is the king of Israel, and he had a connection with David, and David was actually, you know, the leader of his army, and David started getting really successful, and he had actually been anointed king, and Saul kind of knew he was going to be king, and Saul was jealous. So you got David running for his life. So Saul's trying to kill David, right? So not a good situation. You know, someone's trying to wipe you out. And so he runs down, and he comes to this the city, and Abimelech is the ruler of the city, and he's scratching on the gate. And the Bible says he's not like he's got spit running down his beard, and he's just like, you know, I don't know, he's something. He was acting like he's a nut job, right? So obviously, this isn't a highlight of his life. this isn't a good time, right? So what does he do? I shouldn't say he doesn't despair, because he is very desperate in this moment. But what he does is he turns his heart towards the Lord. And this is where we get the scripture that says, verse 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So David, in a moment, we're going to see his tastes of the Lord. And he's characterized by that through his entire life. It wasn't just this one moment, but he's always doing this. So let's read this verse 1 through 6. It says, I will praise the Lord at all times. So this is David writing this after he's still being chased. He's still being hunted down like, you know, a rabid dog. And he just had to act like a nut job. I mean, life's not good right now. He says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. So he's crying out to the Lord. He's not saying, life's great. I'm happy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How are you doing today, brother? I'm doing great. Praise the Lord. God is so good. You know, he's like, how you doing, brother? Well, life sucks, but praise the Lord. God is good. He's not trying to fake anything. He's not, you know, his life isn't amazing at this moment, and yet he's still praising the Lord. That's what it means to taste of the Lord. So then verse 8, he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. So for us to feast on the Lord, for us to taste of him, we need to turn our heart towards him, and he helps us change our focus. Because you know, the stuff in life and the things we're going through right now, and a lot of people, you know, the challenges of life don't necessarily just magically go away. But when we focus on the Lord, when we're continually praising him, when we continually turn our hearts towards him, then he carries those burdens with us. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So a couple of things here on how to taste that we see that he's doing in here. And the first one is obviously praise. He starts out by saying, I will praise the Lord at all times. Now, I'm not the world's best singer at all. Actually, I'm probably not the best singer in the room. I'm probably not the best singer anywhere. There's probably no setting that I could enter into where I would be classified as the best singer or even a good singer. Having said that, one of the things that for me that has just continually over the years that has helped me taste of God and his goodness is praise. Now, we can say worship, and our lives are supposed to be worship. Everything we do is worship, but I'm specifically talking today about praise, meaning the singing of words to Jesus, or the maybe even just speaking them, you know, where we're praising him through prayer and adoration, either singing, one of those things. It is phenomenal to me how life can be just heavy, and when I turn my heart to the Lord, and I have to, like, I can't, I'm not like King David or even like Kevin, you know, like, you could probably just whoop out your guitar and Kevin be like, you know, and you could praise the Lord, right? Me, can't do that, you know, so I've got to, like, get a recording of someone else who actually knows how to sing, right? So I don't have the luxury, you know, of breaking out my guitar or like King David would do. He'd get out his harp and he was a great, you know, he wrote psalms and he could write songs and he could praise the Lord. I can't do that, you know. The only thing that I can play, I used to play the saxophone, the alto saxophone, and the only thing I could play really well on that was O Canada. So that, you know, I mean, if I was using that for worship, that would be a little weird, right? So I've just got to kind of go with what I got. But oftentimes, just sitting and listening to praise and worship music, or even just listening to the quiet and praising the Lord, is phenomenal how God shows up in those moments. And not all the time. But when we take a posture of praise in our life, meaning that I will praise the Lord at all times, it's amazing how it changes our focus towards the Lord. Praise includes like thanking him for stuff. Being thankful is part of praise. When we do that, it turns our focus to the Lord and not on the things that are going around us. It doesn't mean they're going to go away, but he's there. This is part of tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. And it astounds me how many times he just shows himself strong and I see the goodness of the Lord in those moments. So praise him. Another time is on Sunday mornings, you know, that there's just something really good about us being together. It's not just singing songs, but when we come together, that is a celebration of what God is doing. So we praise God corporately, and it is an act of worship and adoration and praise. And those kinds of things do change the atmosphere. They change the atmosphere around us. They change our hearts and allow us to go out in the strength of the Lord. They change our focus on him. So he goes on to say in verse 3, come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. We need to just be getting together and talking about Jesus. It's like, let's be together in community, which is what we're going to do later. And we talk about his goodness. And we say, you know what? This week was rather brutal. But, you know, God showed himself faithful here, you know. All these coincidences, right? You know, it's like there's so many things in life that are God just, when you look back and you see, man, he was here, he was here, he was here, he was here. And it's great for us to tell each other about those things. So when we come together, when we're feasting together this afternoon, that's what we do. We tell each other about our lives and we talk about it and we weave Jesus into the conversation. And you know, it's like, you know, this is how I saw him today. Or maybe you had a great week, you know, you had a great week and you're just really thankful for what God did and how he showed himself, you know, to you and moved through you, whatever, you know. When we come together, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. That's what this feasting is about. It's not about the food, although the food's a great thing. It's about the Lord. Goes on to verse 4 and said, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. So, I don't know. Have you guys ever had a night where you're just like, it's 2 in the morning and you're just like, wide awake? You guys ever get that? Maybe, no, okay, yes. A lot of you are nodding yes. Good. I'm not the only one who's messed up. All right, so I have a few of those, right? So the other morning is one of those, and so usually when I'm in my bed and I can't sleep, I go sleep on the couch. And the other time I sleep on the couch is when I'm in trouble. But this wasn't one of those times. This was one of those times where I just couldn't sleep. So I'm laying on the couch, and it's just feeling the weight of life, right? Just life. And it's just tough, right? There's just all kinds of things going on. And you have those nights and your brain can't stop, and you're just not necessarily thinking about one specific thing, but the 42,000 things that you feel like that are just spinning out there that you have no control over. And I just remember just doing this like this in desperation, just praying to the Lord and going, I got nothing. God, I'm done. I got absolutely nothing in this moment. I'm just laying there on the couch. It wasn't very spiritual, you know. I mean, there's nothing spiritual. I didn't go through the 5 steps to encounter Jesus or the 5 steps through breakthrough prayer to overcome your, you know. It was just like, Jesus, it's 2 a.m. I can't sleep. I got nothing. I just need you. That was it. And I felt the presence of the Lord. It's one of those times. It was just, is a beautiful thing. And I don't want to make you think like this happens to me all the time, like to this level. But it was like I felt there was this, and I'm laying down, so this is in my mind, I'm picturing it, that I was standing and I'm just hunched over and there's this huge weight on me. And I just felt like the Holy Spirit come in and just lift it. And so it's like I'm still got my hands on it, but I'm not carrying any of it. It's still there, but the Holy Spirit's there. And it was just amazing. And you just feel like, oh, man. And I guess I can't say how long it was, but it felt like 30 seconds to me. I was out. It just got to that point where in my desperation, I'm like, Jesus, I got nothing. He shows up, and I just feel this weight not lifting, gone, but still there, but it's not a weight anymore. You know, all you who are weary and heavy laden, you know, cast your cares upon him. You know, he will give you rest. It's kind of a combination of a couple of scriptures, but the theme is, you know, it's just, that's how we feast on the Lord. And in that moment, we see his goodness. And in that moment, I tasted of Jesus' goodness. This gracious act. I had nothing. Like I say, I'm not that spiritual in that moment. I was just like, I was no programs, no 12 steps to, you know, lifting the burden. A gracious act of the Lord. His goodness showed through. I tasted, and it was just so good. And what's awesome about that is then as I go throughout the weeks, you know, after that, go throughout the days after that, then other things that the Lord does and other things that people do, like you get a text from someone, and it says, hey, I'm praying for you. I've been thinking about you. And you're just like, it's so much nicer to receive that because you know that the Holy Spirit's there doing the heavy lifting. And then you're able to receive those things from other people. It's because my ultimate satisfaction and strength has come from the Lord, but then when someone else says something to me, I can receive it in a way that I know it's adding to what the Lord's already doing. So I'm not trying to take, you know, affirmation or my strength from other people or try to whoop it up myself. It's from the Lord, which allows me to taste of his goodness in other ways and really receive them. If we're not tasting of the Lord and we're trying to do everything on our own, then when someone, you know, some of the things that do happen to us, you know, we might try to like just suck the life out of somebody. Like we want someone else to make us feel better or someone else to take our burden. You know, and this, I don't know if this makes any sense or not, but basically when we taste of the Lord and he is our source, he is our strength, he is our satisfaction, and we taste his goodness, then we don't have to look at anything other than him and try to suck the life out of it to get our meaning, our identity, our satisfaction, or our strength, because nothing else was meant to give it to us. So when we taste of the Lord, he is our source, he is our strength, then when someone does do something or something else does happen, you can receive it because it's adding to what the Lord has done, not making it any better. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't even know how to say it anymore. So I'll stop. But just see Jesus. Taste and see that he is good. So when we feast on the Lord, his goodness sustains us. So then, when we come together, when we do a celebration together, then we're not looking at this event to try to, you know, draw anything from other than we're coming together to celebrate and worship the Lord. So as we have feasted on the Lord and we've tasted and seen that he is good, then we come together and it makes this celebration we have just that much richer. Then we can taste and see of the Lord's goodness and we celebrate that together. That's a long way of saying the same thing that I said at the beginning of the sermon. But it's just phenomenal to me how good God is. And when we taste of him, when we spend time with him, when we praise him, when we pray and communicate and talk with him, you know, and when we worship him and when we give our lives to him and we cry out to him and he shows his goodness to us, it just makes being together with people so much more rich and full because we're celebrating what he's doing and we see that in other people's lives and it encourages us. And then I tell people, you know, we can say, hey, this week was really tough, but then God did this. And someone else goes, you know, that's really encouraging to me because I'm in that same situation, but I haven't gone through it yet. You know, I'm still in the middle of it, and it's really good to hear, you know, that you've walked through it. And, you know, this goodness of the Lord that we celebrate together that just builds and encourages and lifts us up. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to do that. We're going to eat together. Now, Kevin's going to come back up, and they're going to do a song. Which one did I say that? I don't know what the name. My Jesus. Is that the name of the song? Tell you about my Jesus, that song. We're going to do that one. And what I'd encourage you to do is in this moment, you can stand up and sing it, or you can just sit and drink it in. But this is an opportunity for you to taste of the Lord's goodness. Just give you however long the song is to reflect on Jesus. Maybe you're not even sure who he is. Maybe you don't know how he relates to your life. This is a great time to ask him. Jesus, how do you relate to my life? How do I taste of you? How do I find my satisfaction in you? How do I find who I am in you? So just take this moment and let's praise the Lord. Just be with him. Taste of him. Turn your affections towards him. Turn your thoughts towards him. And then, you know, this is always a challenge too because we're in a room and it can be a little awkward, but, you know, you can bow your head and close your eyes, whatever, if you've nod off and snore, that's fine. But, you know, this is a time where I just encourage you as the thoughts come in, like, you know, you might be thinking, you know, the cookies are calling me from upstairs or what it is or, you know, whatever it is or, oh man, I forgot to let the dog out or, man, this has been a tough week. Whatever it is, whatever the thoughts are, I just encourage you to offer them to the Lord. Turn your heart back towards Jesus and say, Jesus, just show me in this moment who you are. Show me in this moment who you are. And that's where we start tasting of him. Just ask him to reveal himself to you. Lord God, we ask in this moment that you would show us who you are. The majesty, the beauty, the goodness of God, that it would be revealed to our hearts today. God, speak to us in this moment. Let us taste of you, I ask, in Jesus' name.